Thanks, Steve Bertrand. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to Monday. Glad that you're joining us. If you want to participate, 312-981-7200. Hi, Wendy.
My magic trick for the day, abracadabra. Bill is wearing a pink hat. What is with the pink hats? Can we stop the pink hats? Come on.
I'm a believer in the women's movement, Wendy.
So. I am too, Bill. And, you know, actually the pink hats are better than some of the poster boards that I saw where women inserted their heads in the middle of.
That was a little awkward. I saw that. That was a little strange.
I don't think that should be out there for people to see.
No?
In either way.
You're so old-fashioned.
I kind of am. What's wrong with me?
You are so old-fashioned.
I was looking at some of the, and congratulations to all the women who marched, because again,
quite a turnout.
And 50,000 more than last year.
Yeah, they had around 300,000.
That to me is the most surprising thing. I thought there was such motivation after the inauguration to drive people out in beautiful weather.
Yeah.
I really never thought they'd match that again.
I don't think they did either.
We had the organizers
right, on Friday, and they were hoping, that they got numbers close to last year, and then they exceeded it. So that's good. That's very good.
I was going through and looking at all the signs and chuckling at some of them, and some of them, honest to God, I found myself with my hand over my mouth going, ooh.
Can you allude to what they said? What embarrassed you?
Some of the graphic yet cartoonish pictures of...
of the female anatomy?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, do we have to do that? Doesn't that dilute the message?
I was thinking the same thing, and I'm not sure.
I liked Viva the Vulva. Viva la Vulva. That was my favorite sign. Viva la Vulva.
That's pretty funny. That's very
That
funny.
Was one of my favorites.
I think that's very funny.
But, you know, and that's where I'm torn, because I'm so behind this, and I agree with it, mm-hmm. and... the pink, I know I'm whining. All right, the pink hats are cute, mm-hmm. and they're not as graphic as, you know, some of the posters were.
Right.
But, you know, come up with the funky, funny posters.
Right.
I like that better.
Now, can I store my pink hat from this weekend's march by my penis hat from the Pride Parade? Can I put those on the same shelf in the closet, or is there going to be problems?
No, because they'll multiply. They're multiplying.
That's not bad. Then I'll have more for everybody for next year.
I guess you could share.
I'm going to. But to Steve's point, if I may, that was the thing. Because everybody said, well, sure, last year everybody was in shock mode. So the motivation was immediate. Let's go out and do something. But a year later, in less clement weather, you say to yourself, I don't know, are they going to get anywhere near the numbers? Even more so.
I also don't feel like there was nearly as much talk ahead of it this year as there was.
No, there wasn't.
There was not.
So, man, it's impressive.
Yeah.
It kind of crept up on me, quite honestly, because it was really hyped last year. And it seems like, well, last year they had less time to get it together.
Right.
But everyone was talking about it. And then this year, boom, all of a sudden it was here.
So do you think, to some extent, what has gone on with the harassment scandals, that fueled it a little bit?
I believe so.
Right?
But see, then the graphic posters, I just,
right.
you know what, it's kind of not, it's, you're missing the point here. And I trust me, I am not approved.
On that. No, I know, but I keep going back and forth on if that enhances the point. Or destroys the point. I kind of understand both ways.
Well, I've heard from people who were there too that said there was a hugely diverse number of issues that the population
yes.
was promoting.
Yes.
So so they were bringing in people from all different organizations and groups and mentalities. You're not going to get a uniform sort of
right.
message, and you can't control all of the
right.
signs either. You know what I mean, Wendy? I mean, if you're
pulling
in so many different... But I get what you're saying, too.
I just feel like, you know, listen, I'm the first one to goof around and mm-hmm. not take things seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But in a weird way, when I'm serious about something, that is not a time for me to bring out cartoon characters of my anatomy. I don't know.
When is that time?
And which is it, Gumby or Pokey? I don't know. Is Gumby the female?
No.
Pokey the male?
Gumby and Pokey are both guys, as it turns out.
Oh, see, I mean, I don't know. To me, it kind of, it's funny. I was amused.
Right.
There were a lot of young girls there.
So does the fact that there were so many young girls there, and there were,
I know.
Does that mean that there had to be a little bit of explaining to, like, some young girl's going to point at something and go, I don't understand what that is. You know, what is that supposed to be? And then somebody has to explain, and then they have to also explain why it's being represented in the form of a hat. But, that's fine.
And I mean, I think, you know, I personally know like a relatively young girl who was holding a sign that had that kind of thing. So she knows what that is. And the little girls, probably. I think, would know what that is.
Probably.
But again, it's like, you know, why are we putting that on a sign to...
I know, it is a little... We live in a confusing time.
I know, and I am not trying to... I'm not trying to take support away from the Women's March, trust me.
Of course not.
I am so not.
Right.
But I'm just puzzled and perplexed by the choice of signs. But I like Viva La Vulva. That is my favorite.
That's fun. That's a lot of fun. So this will be an annual event now, right?
I would imagine.
And always around the anniversary of the inauguration. Is that time? That's timed intentionally, right? It must be.
It has to be. I don't know what. I know that this is the same date that it was last year, right?
The same weekend. Yeah, so I don't think the exact same date.
And I'm with Bertrand. I'm kind of curious, will this keep growing or has it peaked right now?
Right. Good question.
We'll have to see. But, you know, listen, for everyone who went out there, I'm too lazy to go down in the city. I work in the city all week, and then I'm in the suburbs, and I don't feel like coming back. So really, I want to give a round of applause to the women who went out there and supported this cause, because it's fantastic.
Sure.
Just puzzled on some of the signs.
That's all. That's fine. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll discuss other things that happened over the weekend. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I was lucky enough to be at the game on Saturday night, and I don't want to call it a game.
Oh, they came in second, which is good.
And the Islanders had just had some trouble at home.
Right.
They were vulnerable, and this was the time for us to strike.
And they did not. They missed an opportunity. It's going to be okay.
Not if they don't start winning soon.
A little slight setback.
I was lucky enough to be sitting amongst some Blackhawks greats like Bobby Hull and Tony Esposito.
I'd say those guys are among the greats.
And Savoir Ferrer was
there. He's everywhere.
Dennis Savard was there. And Brian Campbell.
Oh, really?
It was very fun.
What a round table of great Blackhawks talent.
Although it would have been nice to bring home a win.
Yeah, that would have been nice. We have a chance tonight. Against Tampa. Everything's going to be okay.
Come on.
I overdosed on football just a little bit yesterday. This season, I've watched almost no football at all. But if you're going to watch it, this is a pretty good time.
To find out who's in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It's the best weekend of football.
Don't you think?
This truly is.
Conference championship games.
Yeah, it is.
Who was playing?
Well, the Eagles dismantled the Minnesota Vikings. That was crazy. And then the Patriots just win anytime they want to.
It's just not any fun anymore,
It's the weirdest thing. And I think because in Chicago, we're used to watching the Bears on any given Sunday, where you have a feeling that even if they're up by 30 or 35 points with a couple minutes left, something bad's going to happen. With Tom Brady, you just get this feeling. And in my opinion, Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback of all time. But I watched yesterday, and when they're down by 10 with a couple minutes left, you go, yeah, but Tom Brady knows what he's doing. He's going to win, and then he wins. It's automatic.
You just kind of knew it, right? No matter what. It was like the Georgia-Alabama college game. You knew Alabama was going to come back, and it just wasn't that fun because you knew. And then there it happened. Okay, well, we knew that was going to happen.
It's not even a matter of being fun. It's just what deficit could they possibly be facing with how little amount of time for Tom Brady to just go, fellas, leave this one to me.
I mean, weren't they down 100 points in the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah, they were down 103 points with less than a minute to go, and they came back and won.
Listen to you guys whining. It's not fun. What if you lived in New England?
Then it'd be fun.
Yeah, well, do you live in New England, Bill? Because I don't.
Crazy amount of fun.
Someday the Bears will be like that. Ever? Ever in our lifetime?
I don't think we're going
to... You said that about the Cubs. Look what happened.
Yeah.
Although, look what happened.
Yeah.
We got one.
Well, it'll be all right.
We got one in 85.
It'll be okay.
We're done.
Now, I need to ask you this, and I already asked you this off air, but Steve, you didn't get to hear this. On Saturday, I went to a restaurant to pick up some food. My wife called in an order, and I go to pick up the food. And this is not an uncommon occurrence. This is a nightly thing, because we order food and
you
get
don't
it
cook.
A lot. Right. So this is what I met with in the restaurant. You tell me if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I walk into the restaurant. I go right up to the counter, and I'm just standing there for 5 or 10 seconds. The woman behind the counter goes, "You must be Bill." And I go, "I am." And there were other orders. Other people had ordered food. I go, "I am." And she says, "You look like a Bill." And I went, thank you, like that, because I don't know if that is a good thing or a bad thing.
She's a listener.
No.
Yes, she is.
I don't think so.
I'll bet you a dollar.
I don't think she is.
Why would she just say that then?
Well, then I went home and I looked in the mirror to see if I did look like a Bill, and I think she might be onto something.
You do look like a Bill.
I think I do. I think I do.
Maybe the only other pickup was for a guy named Alfonso, and you don't look like an Alfonso.
I went through that in my head, too, and I almost said, can I see the other tabs? Right. I wanted to see who else had ordered food.
I can't show you. That's private.
You're no Nancy boy.
But wait, when Terry called it in, did she use her name?
She said Bill will be picking it up. That's our usual thing.
Do you order from there frequently?
Once a month.
All right, then she knows you. Bill will be picking
it
up.
But she should have said, oh, my old friend Bill who comes in once a
month.
That's
weird.
Please, here's the food. We're so happy to see you. We'll see you again in a month.
No. That would be weirder.
It's been 5 weeks. Okay, can I ask you a question off topic a little bit?
Yes.
You and Terry are both very thin.
Well, yeah, thanks.
And you eat out every night.
Almost every night.
You know, decent food. It's not like fast food every night.
This was cheeseburgers and french fries.
Are you kidding? Because I swear to God, you guys eat healthy for the most part all the time.
More times than not, it's pretty much on the
healthy
side.
The one time
side.
I defend you.
Well, thank you for defending me.
But even if you're eating healthy, usually a restaurant portion or the restaurant servings are, you know, pretty caloric.
Right. That's true.
Anyway, sorry.
Getting back to the original thing is, should I have been upset by this, or should I just accept the fact that I'm of the age where, and you and I have talked about this, you only had 8 or 9 options to name a guy. So I guess if somebody sees me, they go, well, he's either Mike or Steve or Bob or Bill or Tom. I mean, it's going to be one of those names.
Would you rather look like a Bill or a Chaz?
I'd rather look like a Bill. Although Chaz implies more money and possibly...
Yeah, you'd have to tie your sweater around your shoulder.
You look like a Chaz.
See, that would be really upsetting if you go, you must be Chaz.
She knows. She's a listener. There's
I don't think so.
I want the... Off the air, you can give me the name of the restaurant. I will call and find out. Because why else would she say that? Are you a Bill?
But if you say something like that, then shouldn't you back it up with what that means exactly?
Well, see,
I don't think it's...
I would have gone further had somebody said, are you a Wendy? Because you look like a Wendy. I'd be like, yes. Do I know you?
For some reason, though, if it's said that way with your name, it sounds more complimentary than my name. It's just like, yay.
Why?
Because
it's all about the pool of names that she had to choose from.
Yes. That's it exactly, Steve. That's it exactly.
Well, I think she was being friendly. Would you rather her go, here's your food?
No.
Loser. You look like a loser.
And here's a Bill.
Right.
Yeah. A bill for a bill.
Now this looks like a Bill. That's why I always carry a duck's nose in my pocket, Wendy, because then I can go, which one of us looks more like a Bill?
Don't do that when I'm drinking coffee, please.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Good golly, Miss Molly.
So there's nothing worse than being upset and then asking yourself, was that worth getting? I wasn't really physically upset, but it's just like, I've been pigeonholed now, you know?
You do look like a Bill.
I'm still in that bracket. I've told you this. About twice a month, somebody asks me if I'm lost and if they can help me.
Seriously?
Yeah. If I'm just walking around town
Do you still have your little lunchbox you used to walk around with?
Sometimes. Not often.
You looked like you were lost
then.
That was his briefcase, Steve, when we worked at another station. We did mornings and, you know, I splurged and bought like a $500 Coach briefcase and I was just loving it.
Yeah.
And Bill had, what did you have?
Tom Corbett Space Cadet lunchbox.
And Wendy said
to me one time,
well, that looks like something.
If I didn't know you, I'd think something was wrong with you.
Can I help you? Are you lost?
Yeah.
Well, see why people ask you that. What do you have in there? A pen?
No, my documents. My important documents that I carry around. You know, my visa, my passport.
The Weekly Reader.
Weekly Reader is in there.
Highlights magazine.
Some baseball cards if somebody wants to trade. Some marbles.
Ranger Rick?
I have a Ranger. Yeah, I got a Ranger Rick. A little bit of everything. You never know what's going to happen. So don't be upset by this. This was not a slam. This was just her saying, there's a half a dozen orders up there, and of all the orders I'm looking at, you look the most like a Bill.
You fit the part.
Yeah, I guess so. All right.
Don't worry. It wasn't bad.
I didn't know. Like, do you go, well, and I did. I said thank you, but then I go, what am I thanking her for? I think she just took a shot at me.
See, I would have gone, how did you know that? I would have gone.
Oh, that's so good.
Well, it's called conversation.
I was frozen in my tracks. I didn't know what to do. I was
conversation. That's weird.
Yeah, conversation. I know I put the emphasis on the wrong Asian, but still, you just go, oh, how did you know?
Yeah.
And then, oh, because I listen every day.
I don't think she listened.
I
just think she looked at me and said, average name guy. This guy does not have a name that just juts out. It's just an average name, and that's an average name that you know, that's
maybe
easy
to read.
She was
thinking My Girl Bill.
Maybe.
My Girl Bill.
She seemed like a Jim Stafford fan. All right, let's take a quick break, and then there's more show. If you want to jump in, you know how to do it. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You love him on the WGN Morning News.
I mean, he's all right, I guess.
Fine. You watch him on the WGN Morning News.
He's okay.
All right, well, then get excited, because coming in 2018, Pat Tomasulo is bringing you Chicago's greatest late-night show ever.
That's right, you hear that? Finally getting off that awful morning shift.
Actually, Pat, you're still doing the morning show.
Come again?
Yeah, you're going to do both shows.
Am I at least going to get some help producing this show?
Help? Pat, you are hilarious. Man of the People with Pat Tomasulo. Saturdays at 10 p.m. coming in January.
And then the line we were forced to read, Pat, is, and Saturdays will never be the same.
Oh, you were for who forced you to read that?
Management.
I didn't force you to read that.
No, not you, but management forced us.
Yeah, it said it on the thing.
Whatever the hell you want. I don't care. That's why I'm the man of the people, Bill. I give you that freedom.
Thank you for that. Thank you,
Pat.
How are you? Congrats.
Thank you. Congratulations on one episode being completed by 3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, but I will take it.
But I'll tell you what, a lot of people never get that first episode. You had a first episode. It was pretty funny.
And quite honestly, we wanted to wait till that first episode aired. I know everybody had you on prior to your show, but we
wanted to make sure it wasn't crap.
Yeah.
Or that they even aired it at all.
Yeah, that's what I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
I saw it. You didn't see it, Wendy?
Pat, I wanted to see it, but please, I really am not trying to be offensive here. I want to see it for people who weren't home at 10 o'clock and forgot to set their DVR. Can I see it somewhere?
It'll be uploaded on our YouTube page today, which is youtube.com/manofthepeopleTV. Don't go to youtube.com/manofthepeople because for whatever reason that name is taken and it's just videos of a guy snoring. It's four videos of a guy snoring that haven't been updated since 1999. And that's where it will be. But if you loved me as much as you always tell me you love me, you
would have
stayed home on Saturday
night.
It
was fun, Wendy.
You watched it.
I was home. I was sleeping.
Oh, Wendy.
Oh,
yeah,
good
I was.
Lord.
Pat, you know what it reminded me of? It was kind
Tell
of
me.
A cross between Game of Thrones and Sergeant Bilko. It was right in the middle of those two.
Yeah. And we haven't even introduced our dragons yet.
Not
right
yet.
Now they're just little baby dragon eggs. But when I step into the fire with those little comedic baby dragon eggs, wait till you see what kind of comedy is going to
Saturdays will never be the same.
By the way, while we're on Game of Thrones, how does Game of Thrones not win every award at the SAG Awards?
I haven't watched a second of Game of Thrones. Have you, Bill?
You know what? I envy you, because one day you're going to discover it, and you're going to experience unbridled joy and enthusiasm.
No, but I am going to experience that when I watch Man of the People on the YouTube channel.
You're damn right you are.
I really am sorry I missed it, because I am a big fan of yours, and I love the way you interact with the people out there.
Well, that's what we're trying to do with this. We've been saying all along, all of the late night shows right now, everything is political, which is fine. I appreciate good joke writing, however, whichever way it skews. But you know, you're kind of alienating half your audience, right? And I feel like, why talk about politics when there's a lot of stuff that we can all agree is ridiculous and we hate.
Yeah.
So let's celebrate the things that we all hate rather than only the things that some of us hate.
Hate will bring us together, Pat.
Hate can be a very unifying force, Bill.
Bonding agent.
Captain and Tennille saying that best.
Yep. Hate will keep us together, yep. Captain and Tennille.
And then they divorced.
Right. Right. You know what you did that was so nice is you found the people that wanted to see Bozo Circus back in its heyday, but because of the wait, the 7-year wait, they weren't able to. You tracked three of them down. That was very enjoyable. I loved seeing that.
Well, you know, I've often been accused of having a little bit of a harder shell, Bill.
Yeah.
You know, and I think undeservedly so, because once you get past that hard shell, you know this, there's a nougaty center of goodness. And I wanted to show people that there is another side. There's a side of me that makes dreams come true.
I never got to see Bozo.
Wendy.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Had you have watched my show on Saturday night at 10 o'clock, you might have gotten a little resolution to that crisis in your life.
Well, I saw him on TV, but I never got to go to the actual game.
You could have lived vicariously for the three poor souls who also didn't get to see him, but got to meet him on Saturday night.
Very exciting.
Pat, you grew up on the East Coast, so were you seeing our Bozo, or did you have a different Bozo where you were?
You want to know something that we had no Bozo.
No Bozo.
We had no Bozo. My wife grew up in Florida, and she had WGN Bozo her entire life and watched Bozo every day. We did not get WGN where I grew up. We got some crap superstation out of Philly that didn't show Bozo. So I never had Bozo growing up.
The poor little thing.
Yeah.
There was a time when
all I had was Pee-wee.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad. When we were kids, you know, Chicago certainly had its own Bozo, but there were Bozos in almost every major market in America at that time.
Right. Yeah. Faux Bozos.
My mom and dad were friends with the guy who was Detroit's Bozo, and he told us that he can't even walk around Detroit. People just mob him. But here in Chicago,
really?
He's just another guy. Yep.
What do you think Detroit Bozo was pulling down compared to Chicago Bozo?
Not as much money, but
couldn't have been
probably,
as much.
Could have been, right?
No.
I don't think as much money.
I wonder.
He got more bikes, maybe. Giant Tootsie Rolls.
I want to bring Bozo back as a companion show to mine as a late night piece and just have Paul Conrad play Bozo.
That would be fantastic. Is he up for this?
Doesn't he do that every morning? Whee!
That's my pitch to programming.
Oh, I'm sure they'll take a bite on that at some point, I would imagine. Don't you think?
Well, yeah, let's get through 6 months of me having a show live past that point, and then I'll put on my producer hat. Then,
Did you watch with on Saturday? Did you watch it at home with your wife, or did you have a party with friends?
God, no. You know what? In theory, that sounds like an incredibly wonderful idea to celebrate all the hard work. In reality, we didn't finish. I didn't finish. I'm not going to bore you with the details.
Really, till 3:30 that afternoon?
Let's just say we had some computer issues that kept us there very late.
Uh-oh.
Let's just say by 10 o'clock Saturday night, the only place I wanted to be was in my pajamas.
That's where I was.
Me and the wife and the dog.
That's it. The people
freaking
you're closest
dog loved
to.
It. Yeah, that was it. Just us.
Man of the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And dog.
I don't want to give anything away, but in the very first scene, a prominent Chicagoan is featured. Is that going to be a regular thing on the show, Pat? Will you have big-name Chicago stars every week?
It took us about 7 weeks to wrangle that one. So
it did.
I can't imagine that it will be. You get to say it. Everybody, it's the mayor. What if Wendy didn't care enough to watch it live?
No, I will do it now.
We got the mayor. Yeah, you know what? We'll where we can, of course, we want to incorporate any Chicago luminaries where we can, and definitely, you know, people from the Chicago comedy scene. I mean, you know how much the stand-up scene has exploded here over the last couple of years, and obviously, you know, the sketch and improv scene is pretty strong, so we're always trying to involve people from those scenes and get them in our room and have them pitching us and helping us write jokes, so...
That's excellent. And I have to say, Mayor Emanuel pulled it off very nicely. He's very comfortable on camera. He's very funny.
He is funny.
He did. We went in there with an outline for him, and he looked at it, and he said, I do my own material.
Oh. Wow.
And then we just had a little improv session.
That's excellent. All right, give us what is a best-case scenario for Man of the People? What is the absolute best news you could possibly get?
What do you mean, like for the best news today or the best news for like a year from now?
Like in a year from now, if they came and they go, Pat, we love this. We're going to make it a national show. It's going to run on the network. Is that a possibility?
Well, as long as that sentence would be followed with, and you're going to have more than three people to make the show with,
then it's good news.
That would be a fantastic bit of news.
Oh, all right.
You'll get there.
Yeah, no, it would be, you know, listen, it's a show that obviously we are very proud of Chicago, and Chicago will be a central figure in the show. But sure, we would love to expand it to other stations and other markets. But, you know, the main thing is that the good thing about doing the show here is that we have total control over it.
Yeah.
And we have creative control, and there's nobody that's breathing down our necks telling us what to do. And as long as we can maintain that, I don't care if it's not seen outside of Cook County. I mean, I want it to be, obviously. But you know what I mean? For us, the most important thing is doing a show that we love and doing a show that we're proud of, and whatever happens from there is fine with us.
Well, we are proud of you, and could you have more fun on that morning show, really? I'm telling you. You've got the dream job.
I will try. You know, I'm trying to get Robin to come out of her shell.
Sure. Good luck with that.
Trying to get Paul to be a little bit more open with his opinions and his perspectives. And if I can, I'm going to keep plugging away. That's all I can
do. That's all you can do. You're just one man.
All right, if you missed it.
Just one man of the people.
Yep.
That is. And if you missed it like I did, which I'm ashamed of myself.
You should be, Wendy.
How do we watch it again? YouTube.com?
Yeah, we're going to have all. You can go to our website, manofthepeople.com. They'll be putting full episodes up on there at some point. They are also, all the clips and everything are all up there as well. And full episodes will be on our YouTube page every Monday.
Pat, we need to laugh. Wendy will tell you, when Two Broke Girls went off, I said to Wendy, will we ever laugh again? And we didn't know, and now we can laugh again.
Now you will.
I'll watch it live, I promise, next week. This week.
Yeah,
this
and
weekend.
Even if you don't like it, just leave your TV on.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's all you need.
All right.
Thank you, Pat. Congratulations.
Congrats.
We're very happy for you.
Thanks, guys.
That's
we'll
Pat
talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Pat Tomasulo, the star of Man of the People.
Good for him. He really, that whole morning show is the best thing on television. I hope it never goes away.
Really? I mean, I'm shocked at how great it is.
I'm shocked it's still on like that.
I know.
Because
no one has tampered with it.
Yes.
Nobody's messed with it.
They're leaving it alone, and you get the best of both worlds. You get real news. You get real people.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yep,
there, they could use
true.
That as a promo.
They will. They All definitely right. will. All right, a little break, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, a lot of good texts regarding Pat Tomasulo's Man of the People show.
People seem to enjoy it. That's good news.
I found Pat's show on YouTube. It's up there already. The show seems to be broken up into 1 to 4 minute segments. Thank you, Peter from Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
This Pat might be funny, but he is also ignorant.
Oh. Well, there's room for both. You can be both funny and ignorant. There's plenty of room for both.
Great show. Man of the People show was great. I love the show. I laughed harder than I do at Colbert.
Oh, that's very high praise.
How can we get tickets for the show? I will love to take my 14-year-old son to the show.
They do have a studio audience. They made a point of saying in the show, because it's shot in the same studio that they do the morning news in, and Bozo Circus used to be a long, long time ago. And they said that since Bozo Circus, this was the first live audience that they've ever done in there. However, that's incorrect, because for a while they shot the lottery game show in there.
Oh, with Linda Kohlmeyer.
Right. And that had a live audience. So not 100%.
Liars.
Yeah, they're liars. Those people are
Didn't
liars.
It say it in the promo that was the first? My voice keeps cracking. I'm trying to be like you, I think. That's my New Year's resolution.
Oh, you sound like a Bill.
I know. I can't. Wow. I don't look like one, though.
Yeah, I think they do kind of publicize that. But technically, the lottery show also used a live audience and was
Leave
shot
it
in
to
that
you
studio. So
to rain on someone's
I'm suing
parade.
Them.
All
I'm
right.
suing them for lying.
So people would go in to watch the lotto drawings live?
Yes.
And Didn't they got you do this, that for a while?
They got this goof to entertain them.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you warmed up the crowd before Linda Kohlmeyer got there?
If that's possible, yeah. The audience wasn't huge. It was about 150 people.
It was not 150 people.
Yeah, about 150.
It was three.
No, it was
Who wants to watch lotto balls being drawn?
Well, no. It wasn't just lotto balls being drawn.
Oh,
it was
a
game show.
Oh.
It was a half-hour game show.
I thought they just came to watch the balls come up the tube.
I remember that now. Okay, me too. I thought, it's
Sorry.
A six.
It was on for about 3 years or 4 years. It was a guy named Mike Jackson, who was a news guy here at
Channel 7. He went on to run the lottery, didn't he, for a while? Or
Oh, did he? I don't remember that.
Desiree Rogers did something
and
with
Mark
it,
Goodman
she?
Hosted it for a little while, too.
Oh, that's right.
From MTV.
Were you a co-host?
No, they always had me like in the bullpen. They'd always say, if Mark doesn't show up, be ready.
Are you kidding me?
That was every week.
That's not a way to live.
No. No, but that's
Jasmine,
the lottery
we have to
lifestyle.
Book Mark Goodman and have him be in the studio when Bill tries to come in tomorrow.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be funny?
Just to balance things out.
Or have him sit in the green room in case Bill doesn't come in.
Right.
Just make him wait out the
right.
show again. Like right. Bill always
like
had
I
to
had
do.
To do.
They really did that?
Yeah, every week.
That's not fair or right.
He would fly in from
Too
Los
bad.
Angeles.
Then don't take the gig.
So every week they'd be, Mark thinks he's going to be on time. Don't worry. Everything's fine.
That's worse than me. Boy, you're working with people who are late all the time.
I only work with people who may not show up.
Man.
That's my, the
I'm
one
sorry.
Stipulation
I'll be better.
I have is please pair me with somebody who may or may not be ready for the show.
I don't want to be like Mark Goodman, although he had better hair than I did.
He does, seriously?
I know.
Tremendous hair.
I know.
One week, he didn't show up, and just his hair hosted, and it was the highest rated show we ever had.
All right, well, so you rained on the parade. There has been a show that was shot in that studio
yeah,
since Bozo.
They conveniently forgot about it or didn't want to talk about it,
well,
but there was one other show, the lottery game show, for a while.
You're you know. So specific.
Well... You know, I just want people to have the right information.
And 815 says, no wiser words ever spoken regarding comedy and politics these days. Thank you, man of the people.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So well said. All right. Why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break. Some news from Steve and then a lot more coming your way. Stick around. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Wendy, if I may, just a couple of random texts and then certainly more important things to discuss, but a couple of texts. First, this one from 847. Hey, Bill and Wendy. Jake Elliott, the Eagles kicker, went to LT.
Oh.
He kicked a 61-yard field goal this year. He is a hometown hero.
Lyons Township. That's where my kids go to
yeah.
high school or went.
Do you know, is he in any kind of an LT Hall of Fame? Is he a member of that? Every high school has a case with some pictures or
yeah,
trophies.
Yeah, I know. I'm in my high school.
Are you in
Wall
yours?
Hall of Fame for Riverside Brookfield.
Congratulations.
You remember I took the days off? I was getting an award every week.
I do remember. It's all a blur.
I don't recall him being on the Wall of Fame just yet, but it takes a while. I do know that David Hasselhoff also went
deserved.
To Lyons Township
well
High
deserved.
School.
He should be in the Walk of Fame, Hall of Fame.
That's great. I forgot that kid was local.
That's excellent.
Can I just say that a lot of times, you know, people in the neighborhood will say, oh, really, your kid's playing football or playing sports? You know what the odds are of them going pro? So kudos to that young man.
A different 847 says, my wife and I are having a baby in 3 months. Can we get our name on a waiting list for tickets for Pat Tomasulo's show? That's what happened with Bozo Circus. You know, it was a 7-year wait, so people would find out they were having a baby, and the first thing they would do is they'd call to get tickets, and then 7 years later, their kid could go see Bozo Circus. I hope Pat has that same problem with his show. That would be a great problem to have.
Wasn't there a thing you'd say, Mama had a baby, and you'd get tickets to Bozo?
Yeah, for a while they did that.
What was the real one?
Mama had a baby and its head popped off.
And you did that with Dandelions?
Yeah.
That's really sick.
It's the saddest thing that could ever happen would be for your mom to have a baby and its head pop off. But if there's a dandelion involved, somehow it makes it okay.
Now, Bill did get to go to the Bozo show.
Twice.
You're hurtful today.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
One time you were sick, though, right?
Yeah, I had 103 fever.
Wouldn't it be fun when they just spend like 20 minutes with a little Bill?
No.
Like the way he was at 9.
You know what, Steve?
Know.
There's little to no difference between that version of me and this version of
I
me.
I believe it. I think you're a little, you were a little more gooped up on sugar.
Were you like, hey, Mom, did you send it in?
Well, with the tickets we got, we went with a friend of ours' family. They were savvy enough when my friend Adam was, I think, 4 years old, they sent away for tickets. And then when he was 11, we got them. So his family took our family because they sent away for 8 tickets.
You know, when I get to heaven and I see my mom, the first question I ask her is going to be,
Why
didn't
no
you
Bozo
get
tickets?
Tickets for Bozo?
Right.
Everyone else went in Brookfield, but no, not us.
It seemed an automatic.
Maybe my brother and sister went. I was the baby.
Oh,
I never got.
That's not true.
I
would they have
out
taken
everything.
Them and not you?
Well, yeah, because they're older than I am. So maybe they did the Bozo rounds, and then when I was born, it's like, oh God, here's another one.
Oh, how tragic!
That'll be the first question I ask my mom in heaven.
That would. That's a good
and
first
then,
question.
And then she'll say to me, you still wear too much eye makeup.
Oh, she would say that
yeah.
in heaven. We've got several texts, Wendy, from people saying how sad they are or if we're going to talk about this. John Coleman died over the weekend.
Oh, my God. I adored him more than anything. And there was a picture that was posted online. And you forget that he worked with Mark Giangreco, who was like a little tiny teenager back then, and Carol Marine and Ron Majors. I forgot Giangreco has been on the air that long. He really was a teenager.
Mark, oh, he couldn't have been a teenager. Well, he was in his early 20s, but he was very young when he started. And yeah, John, the crossover
that was the
would have been John Coleman.
Best news team. I loved John Coleman.
Funny. What was the commercial he did where he was on top of the Hancock Center and he was singing a song about I Can See Clearly Now, the rain is gone, and he was just kind of dancing around with an umbrella on top of the Hancock? That was very popular.
That was filmed live. There was no trickery. And a lot of people didn't know he went on to put the Weather Channel together.
That was his baby.
But then, from what I understand, is he was relieved of his duties there.
Oh, how could that be?
I was reading a lot of information on that, and he was like he didn't handle any of the day-to-day activities anymore.
Really?
Yes. But he definitely invented that. He established the Weather Channel.
Can I tell you what surprised me the most about, because I read a couple of bios of his over the weekend upon learning that he had passed away.
83, I believe.
So he was the morning guy. He was the weather guy at Good Morning America for a while. As you pointed out, he was the inventor of the Weather Channel, which everybody said, nobody wants to see this. And then it took off. It made him a lot of money. But the craziest thing about John Coleman is he did not believe in global warming.
Can I just tell you, when I saw that, I was mad at him. I was mad at him for a minute.
I'm not mad at him. I just don't understand how, with all the evidence there, a guy who does this for a living could deny it, because it's nothing but evidence about global warming. So how could he, a guy who's devoted his life to all things weather, just go, yeah, I don't see it? That's very surprising to me. Even our own Tom Skilling, who does not like to get political, when you bring up global warming, he gets a little steamed that people don't believe
it. I get it, steamed.
Right.
That's good.
Right, thank you.
I know, I heard that
was
and
a shock.
I was kind of mad, but he, you know, that's what he's like, you know, this is a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah.
I don't believe that was his quote, but he certainly didn't believe in it.
Now, here's something interesting about him. There is a prominent Chicago news person whose name I cannot say because...
What if I guess it?
That'd be interesting.
Oh.
All right. So this prominent Chicago news person told me a couple of years ago that he met John Coleman a half a dozen times, and each time he met him, John Coleman would go, "It's really nice to meet you." Like, he had no idea that he had just met him a couple of weeks or months earlier.
Well, maybe he had some dementia going on.
No. He was a younger man at the time. This was years and years ago.
Maybe he didn't like him.
Maybe that's what it was. Let's go with that. Because he said to me, this prominent Chicago news person said, you know how that can happen once or maybe twice? And you go, oh, all right. Well, he meets a lot of people. He said, but I was already anchoring a Chicago newscast.
Was he anchoring with him? Because that would have been
that would have been strange every day. Let's turn it over to John at the Weather Desk. John, well, thank you. It's nice to meet you. No, you've met me. We work together every day.
We have some great weather people in this town, and Jerry Taft did just retire.
He was funny too.
Yeah,
love Jerry Taft.
But John Coleman said that there was some weather person that he was inspired by, who I should have done my homework and let you know.
A local, a Chicago news weather person, or somebody more national?
I don't recall, but it was something he wanted to...
Because I don't remember, like, for our age bracket, John Coleman was the first of the quote-unquote weather superstars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was no huge name in weather, I don't think, before John Coleman in Chicago anyway.
I don't think so, but I don't know. There was someone that inspired him to, what did he?
Because at that point, he was part of the John Drury, Fahey Flynn, Bill Frink,
yep,
John Coleman, that news team where it looked like they were a bunch of guys that all lived together in a news apartment and then came in and did the news and then went and hung out. That was their intention, to make it look like,
it did look like they were
a gang of news guys.
It looked like they were doing it. According to Robert Feeder's column of his mentor at CBS2, the legendary P.J. Hoff.
I've heard the name.
John Coleman said, quote, he was the original TV weatherman in Chicago, and he taught me that the job was more than giving the weather information. It was mixing information and entertainment. And he was a master of the entertainment part. He had been a cartoonist for his local newspaper. So P.J. Hoff, Coleman took what he learned from Hoff when he joined ABC 7 the following year, applying what he called the secret of success on television, mixing meteorology and entertainment.
Remember, sometimes John Coleman would just make up a word and then it became a word, like the word thorms, which meant thunderstorms. Yep. Like he would just say it, and then if you were watching, you'd go, well, that must be a word. He keeps saying it. A guy wouldn't be on TV just making up a word, would he? So then you would say thorms. People go, I don't think that's a word.
He was really funny. And if you go to robertfeeder.com, there's an excellent picture. And Mark Giangreco looks like he's so young.
All right, so that Wendy is now showing me a picture of the NBC 5 team, which at the time was Ron Majors, Carol Marine, Mark Giangreco, and himself, John Coleman, doing weather. So that picture had to be early to mid 1980s, right? Somewhere in there.
I don't know. Look at Carol's hair and what she's wearing. Does she have shoulder pads?
Because
then it's 80s.
80s. Yep.
Because
yep.
I loved my shoulder pads.
Yep.
Well, go to robertfeeder.com. It's a great article on a great guy. I miss John Coleman.
Mm-hmm. All right, a quick break, and then we'll check in with Maria Pappas and find out about some tax news. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, I have a bunch of questions, and maybe you do too. So on the line with us right now, Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas, and we are going to talk about property owners and property taxes, and I'm confused about the whole thing. Maria, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're announcing like three new programs today. So as you know, we did the prepayment early with the change in the Trump administration and taxes. We were able to give people a downloadable bill. And we were able to, you could go to cookcountytreasurer.com and you could download your bill. You could either pay it online, you could take it to a Chase bank and pay, or you could bring it into my office, or you can mail it in.
And you stayed open on a Sunday. Didn't you stay open to allow people to do that?
Yeah, we stayed open New Year's Eve, and we successfully took in $750 million, and 126,000 people got to pay. But what's really interesting about that and what's precipitated what we did today is that of the 126,000 people who came in early to pay online, 90,000 of them direct debited their account or paid by credit card. So that what that's telling us is, in terms of the trend in the industry, people don't want mail. They don't want to leave their home. They don't want to come to their office. They don't want to go to their bank. They just want to simply not deal with cash, not deal with checks, not deal with stamps or the post office. They just want to go onto their computer, direct debit their account, get a receipt.
It also shows that people have more money than they did before, because there are certain people, I'm included, that pay our property tax in an escrow account. So it's not like you just have that money to go and pay.
Well, there are about 650,000 people in Cook County who pay with an escrow account. And so every year that money is just wired out from those 600,000 mortgages to our office. So the other million come in from different ways. But what we're doing now is, you've always had a processing fee to pay online, which went to Chase Bank as the third-party processor. We're making online payment for free.
Oh,
that's helpful.
That's very
Since
helpful.
Since most people are doing that.
You know, and people are saying, you know, it's just a dollar. Well, you know what? It's like the 7-cent bag tax or the soda pop tax. It's the dollar is an annoyance.
Right.
So about a year ago, we had Jamie Dimon, second in command from Chase Bank, fly in from New York and tell us, look, Maria, we want to tell you that we've always had this relationship with Chase, and we've always had, you know, 400,000 or 500,000 people coming in to Chase Bank to pay. We are going to get down to one cashier per bank over the next 5 years. Over bank branch.
Hmm.
So we were shocked. I personally was shocked, and I got on the phone and I called every major bank in town and I said, look, I need to know if this is true. Are you seriously going down to one cashier pretty much per bank in all these bank branches? And the answer was yes. The answer is we are moving everything online. The banking industry is completely moving away from cash and checks. We are moving to total wire transactions. So in anticipation of that, we have beefed up everything. We are allowing the online payment for free, but we are also doing two other things. You can go to cookcountytreasurer.com right now, and you can sign up for e-billing. E-billing means that you will never get a bill from me again unless it comes to your email account. You won't have to go to the mailbox to get it. You can go to your email, download your bill. It's got a scannable line on it. You can direct debit your account, or you can take the bill, go to Chase, or mail it in if you want. So e-billing is big because a lot of people don't want to have to deal with the post office or opening up another piece of mail. And then finally, this is the third thing, on cookcountytreasurer.com, March 1st is our due date this year. You will, in the normal course of business, receive your bill payable on March 1st on February 1st. You can go to cookcountytreasurer.com right now and download your bill.
You don't have to wait till Feb 1st.
No.
No, you don't have to wait. So now what you're going to say, do I have the August bill ready yet? Because we bill twice a year. We bill in March, and then we bill again in August. Mm-hmm. And the August bill comes July 1st. The August bill is the bill that everybody's kind of like worried about, because that's the bill where things go up. And they want to know what it is so they can start to figure out what it is, because the kids are going back to school. Mm-hmm. They've got summer vacations, on and on and on. We get from the treasurer's to the treasurer's office, from both the clerk and the assessor, on or around June 1st or so, the actual figures. They send us the figures. And then we go through this huge process where we take these figures, we download it, and then the mainframe of the county starts printing bills, and then it goes to a mailing house. On June 1st this year, when I get those figures, I'm going to download them onto cookcountytreasurer.com. So you will know in June what you owe in August, and you will be able to see it in front of you. You will no longer have to wait to get that bill on July 1st. So we're really happy about this. We're following this huge trend of people not wanting to have to deal with cash,
yeah,
not wanting to have to deal with the banks, not wanting to, you know, to deal with a mailman, not wanting to deal with any of that. And I think we're cutting edge. I mean, this downloadable bill, we are one of the only counties in the country doing this. And when we did the prepayment and collected the $750 million, the 126,000 people who paid, 80,000 of them direct debited their account, 10,000 paid by credit card, and it was the only the other 30,000 that either walked into a Chase bank or very few came in here, the rest mailed them. So this is about convenience. This is about people being knowing that they have an obligation, mm-hmm, and wanting to get it done as quickly and as quietly and as painlessly as possible. So I'm really excited about this.
Sure.
I think that our numbers from 2001, and this is the difference. In 2001, there were still 300,000 people winding around this building to walk in and pay.
Yeah.
And we had 5 satellite offices. We're down to one office here. In 2001, 16,000 people paid online. Last year, 485,000 people
look
paid.
At the
jump. Big difference, yeah. Huge difference. Maria, can I ask you really quick, this government shutdown that took place over the weekend, how does that affect you or the Cook County Treasurer's Office? Does it at all?
No, it doesn't. We kind of run independently. So even if the rest of Cook County were to shut down, let's say the whole county shut down, the jail shut down, the hospital shut down, we would keep functioning. And the reason we would keep functioning is because we are an agency that collects for the other 2,000 governments in Cook County. And so there's nothing to shut down because the banks aren't going to shut down. And so if everything's getting wired here and there,
uh-huh,
the money's going to come in and the money's going to get sent back out.
Oh, okay. Good.
So I'm really happy about this program. I think that Cook County's becoming cutting edge. We've had 87 foreign governments. I don't know if you realize this, but Cook County is the 16th largest government in the world because under it sits 2,200 other governments. We have the largest juvenile justice system, the largest prison system, and the largest healthcare system in terms of public in the world. And when you look at that, you realize the magnitude of Cook County. It is a huge government. So being able to be cutting edge with how it is that we're allowing people to pay, and they're obviously telling us that they don't want to come into my office anymore and they don't want to go to a bank. So we've had 87 foreign governments come in and look at our systems because we are so large and so big. So my best guess is the next thing they're going to be doing is getting in here and looking at our downloadable bill and seeing if they can scan it as well. So
that makes
good
sense.
Idea.
I really appreciate getting the word out on this because, a dollar's a dollar.
Hey, it all adds up.
A dollar's a dollar. It's like the bag tax, 7 cents or soda pop or whatever. A dollar saved is a dollar saved. So we anticipate probably an extra couple hundred thousand people doing this during the next run, which is, I let you know, April 1st if it works.
All right, well, good.
If it works.
March 1st, property tax bills are due March 1st. You can go to cookcountytreasurer.com and download your bill right now if you choose. Thank you very much for talking to us, Maria. We appreciate it.
Okay, have a great week, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Maria Pappas, everybody. We'll take a quick break, then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, I have some shocking news about one of your, well, everybody's favorite candies. I have some shocking, shocking news.
This is where it would have been perfect to have the audio of Doc Emmerich talking about different candies that he dropped off for us.
Last week, Doc Emmerich paid a visit to the Steve Cochran Show and came into our office with an array of candies and then called them all off. And to hear Doc Emmerich call off candies, we've got Sugar Babies, Good and Fruities, Good and Plenties, Zack Nut Bars. It was just so much fun to listen to Doc Emmerich call off those names.
And he paints such a picture with his voice that I'm sure everyone envisioned the actual Zack Nut. What was the 7-layer bar you had?
What was that called? It was something like a 7-layer bar, but yeah.
You took that one right away. So
I didn't
know what it involved.
Well, are you ready to have your mind blown?
Yes.
Because this goes against the grain of everything we believe to be good. It turns out that Skittles are all the same flavor.
I don't know that that's true. I hate fake cherry anything.
Mm-hmm.
Fake cherry Skittles. Fake cherry anything.
Mm-hmm.
I do not eat the red Skittles because if I do get one by mistake, they taste like fake cherry. The other ones do not.
So your orange, your grape, your lemon, and your lime, you're okay with those.
Yeah.
But the cherry ones are upsetting to you. Well, they're exactly the same.
They're not.
They say, scientists over at Brandeis University say that what they've done actually over at Skittles, and I'm guessing if Skittles does this, other companies probably do it too, other candy companies.
Starburst does this? Because those definitely have different flavors.
I think those are different.
I think Skittles are too.
I went head in my head. I went candy by candy, and I went, well, M&M's obviously
the same
because all that's different is the colored shell on the outside of the chocolate. What's the other ones I was thinking about? Those Jelly Belly jelly beans. I know for a fact those are different because they put different fruit.
Mike and Ike.
Mike and Ike. Those are different
because there's Mike and there's Ike.
Right. Lemon heads are different than Cherry Chans.
Yeah.
Those are different.
I don't
do they
like
still
cherry
make Cherry Chans? Because that could be upsetting.
Yeah, I don't think they
I
do
I don't
that.
Think they make
They're
those
not
anymore.
Allowed to.
No, those would be too upsetting. But with Skittles, it turns out, these scientists have determined that what they do is they change the fragrance of each of the flavors. And of course, they change the color. There's 5 different colors of Skittles. Come taste the rainbow. But the flavor is the same.
Thank you, Bill.
But then if that's true, you know how if you go to any candy store, they'll have regular Skittles, and then next to it, they'll have tropical Skittles, or they'll have sweet and sour Skittles.
Yeah.
Those have to be different, right? The tropical Skittles and the regular Skittles are not the same.
What are they saying? They just change the fragrance, and then we taste it? Because that
our
is part
brain,
of our smell.
Right. So our brain perceives the flavors as being different because, number one, we see different colors, so we say to ourselves, well, they're different colors. They must be different flavors. And then the aroma is just different enough to mess with us. but they say the flavor is the same. Here's the story.
I don't believe it.
You thought you'd been tasting the rainbow, but you thought wrong. This is according to Cosmopolitan magazine. That's what they do at Cosmopolitan now? What happened to surveys to make yourself more attractive to the opposite sex? That's why I read my Cosmopolitan, not to find out that Skittles are all the same flavor.
Is it Slow Lifestyle Day?
Happy Slow Lifestyle Day, everybody. Skittles come in five different colors, but they actually all taste the same. The red ones, yellow ones, green ones, orange ones, and purple ones all taste the same, again, according to Cosmopolitan. They say, according to Brandeis University neuropsychologist Don Katz, our senses play tricks on us when they smell and the appearance of the sweets come into play, which means that they can all taste the same without us even realizing it. No. You don't agree with this?
There's no, because those cherry ones are terrible.
I think then if you're saying that about the cherry ones, you're also besmirching the other four flavors as well.
I would be. I mean, I guess even just the smell
but
of fake cherry turns me off. So, yeah. You know, you should have saved this story and we should have gone to get Skittles.
To see if you could tell the difference?
Yeah. Like you could have blindfolded me.
Right. I'll still do that.
I know you'd like to put the blindfold in my mouth, but then...
I'll blindfold you and then send you across the street to Walgreens to get more Skittles. Let's see if Wendy gets back safely.
That's our experiment.
It's like a game of Frogger watching you on Michigan Avenue. He explained that the author of Gastrophysics, The New Science of Eating, Charles Spence, did an experiment which involved giving students clear beverages in clear bottles. The beverages had fruit flavorings, he explained to NPR. One was orange, one was grape, one was apple, and one was lemon. The students did a really good job of identifying the flavors until he added the wrong food colorings to each liquid, making the grape one taste like orange and the apple one taste like purple. You don't taste like purple, you taste like grape, right?
Right.
Nothing tastes like purple. While I wouldn't say they went to chance, the ability to tell which was which got really subpar all of a sudden. That's because you're feeding them the information that orange equals orange, grape equals
yep.
grape. But once you tamper with that, all bets are off. The orange beverage then tasted orange to them, and the yellow beverage tasted like lemonade. There wasn't a thing that they could do about it. He continued, the Skittles people, being much smarter than most of us. Did you know that about Skittles people?
That is smarter? So not true.
Skittles people are smarter than us. Recognize that it is cheaper to make things smell differently and look differently than it is to actually make them taste different. So it's a money-saving effort for Skittles. Make it smell different, make it a different color, but don't change the flavor. We won't know any different.
Can Jim jump in on
this?
Hi, listener Jim. How are you?
Well, hi there. Well, this is a fact, by the way, now. Your taste
yes.
is influenced by the smell. That's
right.
Obvious. But if you took Jelly Bellies, I've done this many times, especially with kids, if you can hold your breath prop, not hold your breath, not breathe, you know, and if you can hold your diet, make sure you don't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
If you take Jelly Bellies and you don't let them know the color and they put it in their mouth and you say, what flavor? I don't know. As soon as they breathe, they say, oh, it's licorice. I've done this so many times.
Why
so you hold
be?
Your nose because you're not smelling it.
Oh.
That's exactly right. The smell affects your taste. It's unbelievable. I thought, you got to be kidding. So I've tried it, and it worked. I've been doing this for many, many years.
Are they seeing the color, though, or are they not seeing the color, Jim?
Oh, no. You don't show them the color.
All right, so they just get a jelly bean. They have no idea what flavor. They're not influenced by the color or the aroma.
Exactly right. And you say, what flavor is it? And sometimes they guess wrong, or most of the time they I don't know. You know,
interesting.
And then as soon as they breathe, they know it's licorice or they know it's lemon or whatever it is. It's a great test. It's really a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. Well, I did know that, you know, your smell inhibits what you taste because
sure.
they go together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's more critical than that. Because, as I said, with the Jelly Bellies, you know, you can't tell. You
and
can't
Jelly
tell.
Bellies
your
is one...
Don't register. Yeah.
Because they use the actual fruit pectin or whatever their flavor is, they use a little bit of that in the Jelly Belly. So that one's the best one to do a test like this. You can't do it with something like Necco
right.
wafers where...
Oh, my, they all taste... Those
all
do
taste
all taste
just
right.
like
yeah.
chalk, right?
Yeah.
No offense, Necco wafers.
Right,
I love you, but
no,
all
you
taste like chalk.
You don't
know. You can even do, you know, even you know, let's say these antacid tablets, you
yes.
know, that are colored, they say flavored.
Yeah.
You know, well, the color is different, you know. They're basically all the same. But that's beside the point. If you try it with Jelly Bellies, that's the most unbelievable test. So you have such a variety, you know.
Yeah.
And,
we
you
should
know,
do that.
You give them some, yeah.
Interesting.
It works.
Thank
you,
Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
We should try that on the air tomorrow.
do girls do this? Because my brother and I used to do this all the time. When we'd get candy, like say we'd get Smarties, or as we called them as kids, Fizzers. They used to be Fizzers, then they became Smarties. So when we would open up a pack of them, we did the same with Sweet Tarts. We would only want to eat what we called the men colors, which were your blues, your greens, your purples. The girl colors, the yellows, the reds, the oranges, throw them away. Don't want them. Do girls ever do that, or is that just a guy thing?
It's a guy thing.
Yeah.
A real anal guy thing, I got to tell you.
The thought of it now is ridiculous, but as
those
kids,
tasted pretty much all the same to me.
I don't know that they tasted the same, but they didn't taste like whatever flavor they were representing. You know,
although, come on, the Jolly Rancher watermelon candy.
They do.
The watermelon one tastes really good, but I got to tell you, it doesn't taste like watermelon. Watermelon isn't as good as the candy. There's hardly any flavor in watermelon.
The watermelon one and their cinnamon one, like you can tell those. I think they make about 8 or 10 flavors of Jolly Ranchers.
I like the lemon.
Those are the one, and lemon to some extent too. But there's some, like the blue raspberry. When you have that, you don't know what you're eating. It could be anything.
I know. I can tell that.
You can tell the difference.
But there is no blue raspberry. That's what I'm befuddled
raspberries
about.
Raspberries are red.
And you use those Altoids all the time. I wonder if you held your nose and took an Altoid, if they'd still be hot and curiously strong.
I'll try it. Maybe. Okay. But I could tell the difference with Altoids, like between peppermint, cinnamon, wintergreen.
But maybe not if you held your nose.
Oh, I wonder. That's possible.
We have to do our own experiment. All right. This is fun.
If you want to jump in on this, we're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Mundy on
Bill's WGN. Candy Corner.
Bill's Candy Corner, WGN.
Sugar. Oh, Bill left.
Wendy, these are words that are hard for me to say, but shocking Skittles news, as we now find out that Skittles, even though they come in a rainbow of flavors, are all the same flavor. This according to scientists at Brandeis University, who say that the Skittles people have changed the aroma of each of the flavors, and the color certainly, but that the flavor is actually one. They've been tricking us.
But don't you hate that we've been tricked for all these years?
I find it hard to believe. Because I like to think that I can tell the difference between the flavors. I like to think that, but as it turns out, no, I've been duped.
All right, well, I'm bringing a bag of Skittles in tomorrow, and we can. You'll have to hold your nose and try and
guess. That's how I eat them.
Well, is this Pat? Hi, Pat.
Yes, hi. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
They did a real interesting experiment on one of the food channels. They took a girl, and they blindfolded her, and they had her taste like 4 different cakes. And she said, and the frostings were different colors, but she was blindfolded. And she said, this tastes the same, this tastes the same, this tastes the same. And they said on the bottom, on a disclaimer, if this is the same frosting. Then they took the blindfold off, and they did the same experiment, letting her look at the cakes. One of them looked like chocolate, one was pink, one was yellow, one was green. Honest to God, she said, this tastes like chocolate. This tastes like strawberry. Ooh, this is lime. I mean, it was unbelievable.
And they were all the same, but see, so easily suggestible.
See, and it was the same frosting, just colored differently. I was not that amazed, but I kind of thought, this is something, this is interesting.
It is interesting.
So, your Skittles, it's probably right.
Yeah.
They probably all taste the same. We just look at the colors.
We got to try that out. Well, thank you for that, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
We do. We should. I'll pick up some Skittles on the way home.
All right.
I can't guarantee they'll be full when I get here tomorrow.
You may have a couple on the way in.
Yes.
All right. I know all candies can't do this because there are certain flavors. Like, I like Laffy Taffy, but I don't like the banana ones. And every once in a while, I'll accidentally eat a banana one. And you can tell, like, immediately your taste buds just go, this isn't good. This is not good.
Well, Skittles is the only one revealing this to be true.
Right. So but don't you think if they've figured out that it's cheaper than other candy companies, they've got to be wise to it, too?
They are saving money. They're doing this new thing with the Super Bowl commercial, which I think is pretty genius. Skittles Super Bowl ad will only be seen by one person. They've been spending all this money. How much do they say it is? Like
millions
a minute?
Millions and millions.
For a 10-second commercial or something? Skittles knows this firsthand, that Super Bowl ads are expensive. So the Skittles brand has run a Super Bowl ad for the past 3 years, and now they're like, we're not spending this money anymore. It is the official candy of the NFL. When did that happen?
Is it really?
That's what they say.
I didn't know
we're the official show of the NFL. See, who's there to dispute
that either.
It?
Interesting.
These are good for publicity, but the cost adds up. So this year, Skittles has decided that they're just going to save some serious money. And instead of putting an ad on national TV for millions of people to see, the brand is planning to show its Super Bowl ad to just one person.
That's very funny.
A Los Angeles teenager named Marcos Menendez. The rest of us will only be able to see Marcos's reaction as they stream it live on Facebook during the game.
So they'll shoot a commercial. They just won't show it during the Super Bowl.
Right.
They'll just show this kid's reaction.
And the reaction will be live on Facebook during the Super Bowl.
That's very funny.
That is genius.
They'll get a lot of attention for it without spending anywhere near the money.
That's from foodandwine.com. So they've been saving money by bamboozling us for all these years.
Yeah.
And now they're saving money on this.
I just like that the candy, you know, they've become the candy of diversity. The rainbow candy. But in reality, there's not much diversity. It's all one flavor. So doesn't that go against the grain of what they're preaching, kind of?
You need to tweet that to them.
If I was on Twitter, I would do that.
Because that is completely wrong.
It's very strange. I mean, I know what their message is. Look, all flavors coming together. But if all those flavors taste the same, doesn't that kind of defeat the message just a little bit?
I don't know. All the flavors taste the same, so we're all one.
Oh, maybe it works out perfectly for them then.
Maybe it's not even true and they're saying that because they want everybody to think we're all the same.
Maybe.
Interesting.
All right, let's
do this.
Where's
my pink hat?
We'll take a quick break. Then you and I are headed toward the stream, where we'll talk a little bit about last night's SAG Awards, some interesting moments from last night's SAG Awards. We'll cover that and some other topics, or you can keep it right here and listen to Steve on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Two options, both of them pretty strong. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.